What is the attitude of God toward Jesus? How does he regard him, and is this regard temporary, or does it extend past death and past the existence of this world? In view of the fact that we come to God through Jesus and receive the remission of sins and eternal life through him, there's an obvious interest among believers concerning this matter. Whom does God regard more highly, you or Jesus? Whose will is he most interested in, that of Jesus or what concerns your desires? To whom has he pledged his unfailing approval, you or Jesus? Who is he most pleased to honor, you or Jesus? Do you think that these are superfluous questions or that they really have no relevance to you? These are all matters I'll address in this message. Jesus, God blessed forever. My text is taken from Romans 9, verse 5. Whose are the fathers, and of whom is concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. In this passage, Paul is describing the Israelites, for whom his heart ached, for he desired that they might be saved. He states that what God has invested in the human race prior to Jesus was all concentrated on these people, the Israelites. Here's how he stated it. Who are Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises. The adoption refers to their exclusive dealings with God as their Father. The glory refers to God's manifestations of himself, how he made his person and his character known through words, visions, and other obvious revelations of himself. The covenants particularly refer to the promises made to Abraham and to the new covenant that has been realized in Christ Jesus. The giving of the law refers to the giving of the Ten Commandments at Sinai, together with all of its attending laws and ceremonies. The service of God refers particularly to the tabernacle and temple activities in which the people were represented to God by a high priest and were also given the privilege of worshiping and serving the Lord according to his own revealed will. In our text, he also states that the fathers belong to Israel. This refers to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the progenitors of the nation of Israel, and the ones to whom the promises were made that are fulfilled in the gospel. Now, within that context, Jesus is referred to as the one who is over all and God blessed forever. Although there are variant readings of this text in other versions, the text supports the fact that it's Jesus himself who is blessed by God forever. Now, what's the meaning of this expression, God blessed forever, or blessed by God forever, or the one eternally blessed by God? To be blessed by God means that his favor is on the person, that they are delightful to him. It also means that the individual is himself gratified by this circumstance, finding great satisfaction in it. Additionally, it means that God has pledged to prosper whatever the person does and will put what he has in their hand. Thus, someone who's God blessed is the person in whom God delights. It also is a person who delights in God, and it is a person whose work is fully undergirded by God, guaranteed of complete fulfillment. All of that and more is what it means to be God-blessed. Now, this is a unique expression in the Bible and is used nowhere else as it is here. It is said of Adam and Eve, and God blessed them, Genesis 1:22. It's said of Noah, and God blessed Noah, Genesis 9:1. It's said of Isaac, after the death of Abraham, God blessed his son Isaac, Genesis 25:11. However, it is never said of anyone else that God blessed them forever. David referred to the covenant God made with him of an everlasting king, who was Jesus, saying that his house was blessed forever, Psalm 21:6. In the 45th Psalm, the psalmist referred to the coming Messiah as one God had blessed forever, Psalm 45:2. Jesus himself, however, is the only person who is categorically stated to be God blessed forever. Now let me take a moment and note what this text does not say. It does not say that the earth or anything in it is God blessed forever. It does not say that health and wealth are God blessed forever. It does not say that houses and lands are God blessed forever. Men in general are not said to be God blessed forever. The present status of believers is not said to be God blessed forever. Further, we have people in Scripture who are blessed, but not forever. In Genesis 1:22, it is stated that God blessed Adam and Eve, but it was not forever, for they were expelled from the garden, Genesis 3:24. Genesis 17:20 states that God blessed Ishmael, but it certainly was not forever, for the time came when he was, by the word of God, expelled from Abraham's house, Genesis 21:10. Judges 13:24 states that God blessed Samson, but it was not forever. In 1 Kings 2:45, God pledges to bless Solomon, but it was not forever, for the time came when he was angry with Solomon, 1 Kings 11:9. Even those who are in Christ are solemnly told, behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God, on them that fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off, Romans 11:22. And again the church is told, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, Hebrews 3:12. See, men, even saved men, are not said to be blessed forever, not as long as they're in this world. Whether professed theologians agree on this matter or not, as long as we're in the world, we're subject to liability and jeopardy. This is because we're living by faith and only have the first fruits of our inheritance and not the whole of it. We're engaged in a fight, and it is one we can lose if we do not put on the whole armor of God and fight in faith and hope. But none of these things apply to Jesus. He's God blessed forever. God will never change his mind about Jesus. Never. He changed his mind about Adam and Eve, thrusted him out of his presence, but he'll not do that to Jesus. He's God blessed forever. He changed his mind about Israel, telling Moses he was going to destroy them all, but he never said anything like that concerning Jesus. He is God blessed forever. God changed his mind about Solomon, once loving him and then being angered with him because he appeared to him twice. But this has never and will never be applied to Jesus. He's God blessed forever. It's even said of the human race itself that God repented that he made man. Genesis 6:6. But nothing like that's ever been said about Jesus. He's God blessed forever. He changed his mind about some in Israel, setting his love upon them when delivering them from Egypt and then slaying many of them in the wilderness. But he'll not do that to Jesus. He's God blessed forever. Behold, how wonderful is the position of Jesus before God. This unchanging blessing is also declared in other ways. Take, for instance, the high priests of old. They were very real high priests, but it certainly was not forever. We're told they were not permitted to continue because they died. They were mortals, and their tenure in the office of the priest was temporary. But what about Jesus? He's a high priest. What does God say about his priesthood? Here's the word as stated in Hebrews 7:21. For those priests were made without an oath, but this is with an oath by him that said to him, the Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He'll always stand for the people of God, whether in this world or the world to come. He's God blessed forever. There will never come a time when the saved will stand before God alone or work alone. They'll always be with Jesus. Even when they reign, it will be with Christ forever, as stated in Revelation 22:5. See, Jesus, and Jesus alone, is God blessed forever. The only everlasting benefit that you can receive is one that's in Jesus. By that I mean one that he possesses and dispenses. Nothing else will last, for only Jesus is God blessed forever. Though there are things that are blessed, legitimate things, things that are good in this world and for this time. In Genesis 1:22, God blessed all the water creatures and winged fowl, but it was not forever. In Genesis 1:28, God blessed both male and female, but it was not forever. In Genesis 39:5, God blessed Potiphar's house for Joseph's sake, but it was not forever. In Deuteronomy 28:8, God said he'd bless the storehouse of Israel if they would unfailingly keep his word, but it was not forever. In 2 Samuel 6:12, God blessed the house of Obed-Edom because they had taken care of the Ark of the Covenant, but it was not forever. In Job 1:10, Satan observed that God had blessed the work of Job's hands, but it was not forever. In Matthew 14:19, Jesus blessed 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but it was not forever. In Mark 8:6 and 7, Jesus blessed 7 loaves and a few small fishes, but that was not forever either. It's only said of the Lord Jesus Christ that he was God blessed forever. So why should these observations be made? What is the point of saying that only Jesus is God blessed forever and that everything else and everyone else is blessed conditionally? All of the blessings under the law were conditioned upon obedience, and even then not a single one of them was eternal, obedience or not. There was not so much as one single blessing under the old covenant that was eternal, not one. There was absolutely no mention of eternal life, an eternal inheritance, or an eternal abode reserved for them, not a single one. Only in Jesus did God begin to expound forever. Now it is essential to recognize these things because of man's inveterate tendency to be astounded at the presence of tragedy, disappointment, or trouble. There are some who actually get angry with God when things do not go their way or something happens that they think is out of order. They conduct their lives as though they were God blessed forever and were insulated against any form of difficulty. But God has made no such commitment to men. His commitment has been made to Jesus, who is God blessed forever. Our experience of any and every eternal benefit is strictly conditioned upon our unity, absolute unity, with the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the one who is God blessed forever. Make no mistake about this. You cannot depart from Jesus and yet keep all of the benefits that are in him. It simply is not possible to fail to maintain fellowship with him and yet enjoy the blessings that come from such a fellowship. Nothing that is promised in Jesus can be experienced outside of him. If a person is not abiding in Christ, it's nothing but an imagination to think that Christ will abide in him. He and he alone is God blessed forever. God can change the way he deals with you, but he cannot and will not change the way he deals with Jesus. There may come a time when he'll not hear your prayers like he said he would not hear Israel in Isaiah 1:15. But there will never come a time when he'll not hear and honor the intercession of Jesus. Never. He is God blessed forever. It's possible that a time could come when God becomes a consuming fire to you and you're made painfully aware that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, as Hebrews 10:31 and 12:29 state. But that will never happen to Jesus. He's God blessed forever. There are people to whom the Lord will say, "I never knew you," Matthew 7:23, but that will never be said to Jesus, for he's God blessed forever. Now, what does all this mean, and what does it have to do with living in the here and now? Simply this. Whatever has caused Jesus to be well-pleasing to God must also become well-pleasing to you, else you cannot possibly be blessed by God. For example, God saw the travail of Christ's soul and was satisfied, as stated in Isaiah 53:11. That is, he was so pleased that he looked no place else for a remedy for sin. God was so satisfied with the offering of Jesus for the sins of the world that he will never require any other offering, any other sacrifice, or any other atonement. That means that in his death, Jesus really did take the sins of the world away, as Hebrews 9:26 states. It means that he really did destroy the devil in his death, as stated in Hebrews 2:14. If God was satisfied with the travail of Christ's soul, it means that in his death, Jesus really did make peace through the blood of his cross, as Colossians 1:20 declares. He really did reconcile us to God, as Colossians 1:21 asserts. A satisfied God means that the very principalities and powers that held men captive have in fact been spoiled and plundered, as Colossians 2:15 announces. The way to heaven has really been opened, a new and a living way that has been sanctified for travel to the world to come. That's affirmed in Hebrews 10:20. Listener, all of this is involved in Jesus being God blessed forever. This means that there is to be no dissatisfaction with Jesus among those who wear his name. No one should be talking more about praise and worship than about Jesus. It's not even right to make the Holy Spirit the fundamental subject of consideration, because he's been sent to glorify Jesus, bring the recollection of his words, and assist us in preparing to meet him. Who is the person who would care to come in the name of Jesus and occupy our time with words about health and wealth or worldly prosperity or how we can have success in the business world? What has anyone really done for us when they lift up a religious institution or attempt to dignify a denominational name or elevate a humanly developed theological system of thought? And what are those that have taken upon themselves to make the family unit the fundamental thing? Just what have they done for us? Are they suggesting that the one who is God blessed forever does not cover such matters? Or that the person who abides in Christ is ill-equipped to address life? See, it's one thing to talk about Jesus and to make a little room for him in the backyard of life. But that is not what God's done, and it had better not be what we do. Jesus is God blessed forever. As such, true blessing can only be found in him. That is, in a focus upon him, dedication to him, and lively awareness of him that's maintained by faith, consistent faith. Now, there's something to think about.